Mark 13, which is what we're beginning tonight, it's the kind of chapter that Christians sometimes get very worried about, as if it was very difficult to understand and very difficult to put into practice. And we'll see as we go through. We've got this Sunday, next Sunday, and question time after the service next week. There are bits of this chapter that Christians disagree about, and I expect we will make good use of question time, and I'll be happy to tell you what I'm not sure about. But the big message of this chapter, it is simple and essential and practical. So look down at verse 23. It's the last verse that Preetha read for us, page 1018, Mark chapter 13, verse 23. Jesus says, "So be on your guard. I have told you everything in advance." So Jesus, he has a very simple aim here. He wants his disciples to know everything they need to know in order to live through all of the years until they see him again. And what will they need? They'll need to be on their guard. The same word comes several times in our reading. It's there in verse 5, but it's translated, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Then verse 9, "You must be on your guard." And then verse 23, "Be on your guard." And verse 33, "Be on guard and be alert." So one big, simple idea. We asked earlier in the service, do you wish you knew the future? Or what would you like to hear from your future self? What would help you make decisions now? Well, here is Jesus giving us everything we need from the future in order to be on guard, whatever comes. He's not going to give us everything. Clearly, this isn't everything he could have told us in 23, 33 verses, but everything we need. So look at the things he chooses to tell us. What kind of things does he tell us about? Well, look at the end of verse 8. It says, "These are the beginning of birth pains." So what we've got to talk about this evening, it is a bit like when somebody has a baby. That's a picture that combines one of the most joyful and common life events. We've all been born, everyone in this room. But also, we all know that is one of the most painful and dangerous, still, life events. Be on your guard. Because the word from the future, it is full of pain and danger. Look back just one verse from there, verse 7. "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and you will feel alarmed. And you'll think it is the end maybe of your life, the end maybe of your hopes, maybe the end of the world." But Jesus says such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So guard your mind, guard your behavior. This is not the end. This is the pain of childbirth, and the baby is yet to come. So we're going to follow Jesus' simple message in the form it comes in verse 23. So we'll do everything in advance, as in we'll work our way through all of these verses, try and work out what Jesus is saying about the future. Fair warning, that will take most of our time. Fair warning, I will need your brain active for that time, but it will serve us well for 2 weeks, this week and next week. And then we'll go to be on your guard, and we'll look back through at the commands Jesus gives, how to live during the birth pains. So everything in advance. Remember, if you've been here, that Jesus, he's been for a week teaching in the temple, and it was quite a visit he made to the temple. He's visited, we said, like a landlady coming to inspect what you have done to her house. And he has judged their hypocrisy, and he has issued an eviction notice and a demolition order about their temple. And that makes the disciple in verse 1 a bit interesting. Look at verse 1. He's, what do you think? He's either slow to understand, or he just wants to change Jesus' mind. So he says, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. And he's right. The temple in Jerusalem, Herod the Great's temple, it was epic in scale. Only the Roman emperors were building in that kind of style. But don't think that magnificent and massive means that Jesus cannot slap a demolition notice on it and have it all pulled down. Verse 2, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And they walk on. And then Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they come and ask a much better question. It's the two sets of brothers, Jesus' closest disciples and friends. Look at their question carefully. Verse 4, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled? In other words, unlike the guy in verse 1, they believe him. They believe in the demolition notice. And they want two things. Tell us when, and tell us what the sign will be. The sign just before it happens. We'd like to know in advance. And what I've got up on the screens now, that is how they understand the future. There'll be a sign, and then there will be an event. And for them, the event is it's a very big deal indeed. We may just think of the temple as just another building, just like hundreds of others all around the Roman Empire, all of which are ruins now, and nobody minds very much. But that ignores the whole of the Old Testament. The temple is how God relates to humanity. It is God's symbolic presence on earth. And in this one significant week, God has arrived to inspect his temple and announce the end of it. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they understand that that means the end. In other words, the end of the world. The event they're asking about is the big one. For them, the end of the temple, which is the end of the world. And the one day when all of the prophecies come true and God destroys all of the old and restores all the new. So they're saying, tell us, Jesus, when the end of the world will be and tell us what the sign will be, the sign just before it happens. And already in just what we've picked out of the verses, do you see that a lot of what Jesus gives us is a whole list of things that are not signs? Quite a way to answer the question, isn't it? Give us the sign. Well, this isn't one, and this isn't one, and this isn't either, and nor is this. These are all not signs. People claiming to be the Messiah, verse 6 or verse 21, or wars, verse 7, or earthquakes, verse 8, or famines, verse 8, or persecution, verse 9, or betrayal, verse 12. All of them, such things, verse 7, must happen, but the end is still to come. All of that is birth pains. It's just the normal, painful chaos of our world, but is not the sign of the end. But he does answer their question. You'll be glad to hear. He answers it, but he answers it with a longer answer than they're expecting. Again, I've tried to make all this clear in some pictures on the screen. If you're maybe listening later on the radio or online, this may make no sense at all. I hope you'll be able to follow. But they think, you see, in one kind of two-stage thing, there'll be a sign and then one event. But Jesus, he separates their big event into two events. First, the temple will be destroyed. And then the end of the world will come. So here is a slightly bigger diagram. He does give them a sign to be ready for the end of the temple. And then he takes the end of the temple and he turns it into a sign that the end of the world is about to happen. Two signs, two events, but the middle one is doing double duty. It's an event that's also a sign. Does this make it clearer? I've put the kind of the bits of the verses on there. So there is a sign in verse 14. Jesus says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong. I could only fit the A of D on the diagram, the abomination of desolation. And you can tell it's a sign because Mark adds this little comment, let the reader understand. When Mark writes this, he's in dangerous times. He can't spell this out in language that a Roman soldier would understand, but he still wants them to get it, wants them to understand. Matthew's version adds, as spoken of in Daniel the prophet. That's why Preetha read from Daniel 9, also in Daniel 11, also in Daniel 12. That is where we need to go to understand this. And then in Luke's gospel, Luke adds, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. So perhaps Luke is writing with more Gentiles in mind. They won't know Daniel so well. So Jesus saying, verse 14, the Daniel thing will happen. You'll understand it when you see it. And that is the sign that those who are in Judea should flee to the mountains. Verse 15, verse 16, without even stopping to collect your coat, get out of Judea before the Roman armies destroy it and destroy the temple. So sign one is the abomination that causes desolation, which warns you about event one, which is the destruction of the temple. But we'll see by the end of next week, Jesus has not forgotten that really they wanted to know about the end of the world. And event one, the temple, is also a sign. Sign two, if you like, if you're still following. When the destruction of the temple happens, that is when you know that the end of the world is just about to happen. Or more carefully put, that is when you know the end of the world could be at any second from that point. That's when you know there is nothing of any real significance that needs to happen, or nothing that God is still waiting for. The end of the world is the very next big world event from God's point of view. Okay, well, that gives us three periods of time described in this chapter. I've called them periods A, B, and C. And I've put as the little arrows those three moments in time that we were just talking about, dividing them up. Okay, so verses 5 to 13 talk about period A, all of the time before the abomination that causes desolation. And that is a terrible time. It's full of war and earthquake and famine, full of betrayal and persecution. You're going to think it must be the end of the world already, but it isn't. Be on your guard. Don't let them deceive you. Don't listen if they try and show you a world event as evidence that the end is near. This is just normal chaos, just birth pains. What you really need to do in that time is be on your guard. I've called it calm down on the slides. And he says that that period, it will last for less than one lifetime. Verse 30 gives us that. This generation will not pass away until all these things have come to pass. Meaning, meaning all of the temple things have come to pass. One lifetime. But we know it will need quite a few years, several decades, because verse 10, the gospel must first be preached to all nations. It doesn't mean every single person in every single remote island in every language will have the gospel. It means the same thing it means in the morning series here at All Souls in the book of Acts. The same thing it means in Acts. Enough time for the gospel to begin spreading out of Palestine and into Europe and Africa and Asia. And Acts, the book of Acts says the gospel will go to the ends of the earth, and it finishes with the Apostle Paul preaching in Rome as big tick, mission accomplished, we've reached the ends of the earth. So period A, 40 years or so, you would expect hearing Jesus speaking. 40 years of normal chaos, in which the big thing you need to know is calm down, it is not yet time. But then there will be the unmissable event, the Daniel event, the abomination event. We're not going to turn back to Daniel, we haven't got time, but it is a temple event. All of this is temple, really. It is when a pagan king comes and desecrates the temple. And the Jewish audience, as Jesus speaks, they didn't even need to guess from Daniel, because there had been a fulfillment that all of them knew about. If you want to look it up later, it is the Greek ruler Antiochus Epiphanes. In 167 BC, He invaded Jerusalem. He set up an altar to Zeus in the temple, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. Deliberate act of desecration, the abomination that causes desolation. Daniel's prophecy had come true, and Jesus points back and says, when you see that, that is when the calm down message changes. Period B, it is very different. Don't calm down. Flee from Jerusalem and from all of Judea. Don't even get your cloak. Hope that there is nothing that would make it hard for you to run for your life. Because when they come to destroy Jerusalem, that will be days of distress, verse 19, unequaled from the beginning of time. And that is not just telling us this will be a particularly violent, particularly brutal siege and event. It's also telling us quite how seismic this was from God's point of view. The eviction of his people from Jerusalem, his city. The demolition of his house, his temple. It will be a short period of unequaled distress when the advice changes. The advice is don't calm down, instead run, flee. Until our second time marker happens and Jerusalem is destroyed. And at that point we enter period C. Verse 21, we go back to the message of calm down. Verse 21, we're back in, don't believe them when they say Jesus has returned because the temple is destroyed. Go back to being on your guard, verse 23. And that's not because there is still loads of time. That's the bit that has changed. We've gone from not yet time to at the very door. The very next thing that will happen is the return of Jesus. Verse 29, right at the door. So it's a kind of calm readiness. And that's what we'll spend a lot more time on next week. Do you see, period A and period C, they have a lot in common. They're long. We now know that period C has been going on for nearly 2,000 years. And in that time, there's the same danger. The danger of being led astray, the risk of mistaking pain and distress as the end. Birth pains can go on for days. Apologies if you didn't know that. These birth pains, they've been going on for thousands of years. The two periods they have in common, this experience of persecution and hatred, and of a call to keep proclaiming. Don't be led astray, keep talking about Jesus. There is a gospel that is going to all the nations. And the risk in both of those periods is that we panic. And either we focus on the wars and the prophets and the false messiahs and the earthquakes, or that we spend our time fleeing. I think some Christian movements are sort of stuck on flee all the time. Jesus actually, he intends that only for a very few years before the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay, let me see if any... that's loud. That is not the end of the world. Let me see if some dates will make that any clearer. So same diagram. Jesus, he speaks in 33 AD, when even some of his disciples just couldn't believe the temple would ever be destroyed. That just couldn't happen. The red arrow, if you can see that, that is when we think Mark wrote the book. So maybe 60 AD. Jerusalem is still there. Being a Christian is hard, but it is looking like Jesus' predictions. Maybe they're just not going to come true. Jerusalem is fine. But then there's a moment in maybe 66 AD, 68 AD, something like that, when an Antiochus Epiphanes type thing happens in the temple. And there are a variety of possible events that fit this. Christians disagree about which one. Maybe it is something after the siege begins. There are pagan allies of the Jewish armies inside the temple who do some terrible things. Maybe it's something the Romans did earlier, or maybe it's something the Romans did right at the end of the siege. But we do know from Christian sources that there was a group who did flee. We're told the warning worked, the sign, it was understood. We're told they went to a place called Pella. It's in the foothills of the mountains. It's in the northwest corner of modern-day Jordan. And that was period B. sort of 66, maybe 68 to 70 AD, verses 14 to 20, siege and massacre and destruction. And then we begin period C in 70 AD. And it runs from 70 AD until the day when we see Jesus again. And that is verses 21 to 31 and the rest of the verses next week. And the most important thing Jesus wants us to know is that there are no more significant signs or even really any significant events. They feel big to us, elections and governments and all the stuff that goes on, but no more real big events until the unmissable day when Jesus returns. And we can live every day convinced, because of everything else he said in this chapter, fully convinced that he could be back today. Thought about putting a sort of pause in there. Just to, you know, Jesus, is he here? When will it be? One day there'll be a preacher preaching about these chapters who will pause and Jesus will return in that moment. So that is everything in advance, according to verse 23. Everything that we need to know. I know it's taken me a long time to say, but I don't actually think it is all of that complicated. It's not all that complicated. You may think, why did it take you so long to say? Particularly for us, born after AD 70. Do you see what we've just seen? Everything we need to know tells us that Jesus, he was right about everything. Isn't this the most astonishing prediction? 37 years in advance, he talks about a stunningly unlikely event. Together, he gives a practical sign that's so good, it enables people to plan the evacuation in advance, 37 years ahead, even though he was crucified only days later and isn't there to tell them in person. And now, he is the same amount of right. He's right about everything. He's the same amount of right about the fact that he could be back tonight or tomorrow morning or Wednesday, maybe Wednesday, or 2050 or 3023. We don't know. But there is nothing for us to know except that it could be right now. So what should we do? Well, we should be on our guards. And clearly looking at the clock, you'll be glad to know I'm looking at the clock. We don't have time to take us through everything that Jesus says here. We'll come back next week. But there are four big commands, and the biggest is be on your guard. That's the one that's the most important, most repeated one. Do you see the empathy that Jesus has for us in the mess and the pain and the chaos of our world? He says, don't let that normal chaos, don't let it disturb you. Most of all, he means don't be deceived, verse 5, by the people who claim they know how to interpret every war and every earthquake. Jesus knew those people would go on existing through all the time till we see him again. And sadly, that is still huge today. One example, someone pushed my way. We still need Jesus to give us this advice in 2025. Did you follow the story about the prophet who announced this September? Did you hear about this? September the 23rd, the 24th, this year was going to be the date for the rapture. And I guess people have tried to announce those dates ever since Jesus told them not to in this chapter. But this time, Pastor Joshua had the misfortune to live in the internet age, which was bad for him and also bad for the people who believed him. It meant that his prediction went all around the world. And you could look this up later. There are stories of people who sold their house for a dollar because they knew they wouldn't need it on September the 24th. Even better, if you like sort of awkward, there is a recording of a Zoom call. And it is Pastor Joshua with the people that he had most convinced. They're all on screen like a normal Zoom call. And they're counting down the time until midnight. And again, I can't read hearts, I can't read minds. It looks genuine to me. as in they genuinely believe it, all of them. They're looking, you know, it's still an hour to go, still half an hour to go, 20 minutes to go, let's get ready. And then it is midnight. And they begin talking, well, I wonder what time zone God lives in. I wonder if we got a little bit longer. And there's a sort of very awkward ongoing, you know, somebody needs to log out and end the call. And they, you know, ends with a see you tomorrow. It is funny. It's also sad. And it also tells us something about ourselves. We live in a world that is painful and confusing and distressing. And that means we are always in the market to someone who can take the pain away. Pastor Joshua, he's sort of the epidural of the birth pains world. Give me a sign. Tell me what this all means. Interpret it for me. Tell me the things that Jesus said I wouldn't need to know. So be on your guard. That means you know not to waste your energy, your time, your emotion on all of that stuff. Be on your guard means you know this world will be full of pain, but you also know that babies get born at the end of birth pains. You know that Jesus, he will be worth waiting for. So be on your guard also means, second one, don't be alarmed by war and earthquake and famine. Isn't that something we need to hear in our hurting world? Jesus, he knew it would always be like this. All of the horrendous distress all over our news, Jesus knew it would always be like that. And there'll be different opinions in this room, different Christians, different opinions about quite the sequence of things at the end of the world. And at the Q&A next week, we can talk about all of this. But we should all agree that the time that we live in now, it is the time for calm, steady, do not be deceived. I am ready for Jesus. I will not be led astray because I'm ready for him to come back. And we'll see you next week. Being ready means we have bigger things to do than worry about signs and events that Jesus tells us not to worry about. So we shouldn't worry about what to say. Verse 11. This is an extraordinary verse. When you're arrested, you're dragged before a court to explain why you're a Christian. Don't worry. And some of this, it might only be for apostles in that first time period. Some Christians think that. But the Jesus who in Matthew 28 promises the same Holy Spirit as in this verse to be with every Christian who speaks for him until the end of the age, as he promises to be with us by his Spirit until we see him again, says here, don't worry. Don't worry what you'll say. It will be frightening. But don't worry, just keep speaking. And keep speaking and keep waiting and stand firm, verse 13. We're going to end with this verse 13. It'll be normal chaos. It'll even be the kind of chaos, verse 12, that destroys families. Verse 12 is true. Right now, in the world, there are Christians who cannot tell their spouse or their brother or their child that they are Christians. And yet, Jesus says, even that is normal, horrible but normal. So be on your guard in the hatred, verse 13, because the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. All you need to do is stand firm. Nobody needs to be guessing about signs and events. In fact, all of that may just make you more alarmed and less able to stand firm. There was only one sign event that changed the memo. And that was AD 66, 68, and it did it for 4 years and no more. After that, it's just every day be a disciple. Don't flee. Keep speaking. Keep going. Keep trusting. Jesus, he has been right about everything. So keep going until we see him again. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these verses, they touch on things that distress us hugely. We think of the disasters, the wars, the persecution, the betrayal that is here. Think of people in this room
who have lived through that or have families in the middle of that now. And Father, thank you for the words of Jesus, that all of that he knows about, all of that he sees ahead of time, and he tells us to be on our guards, not be alarmed, not to worry, but to stay, to stand with him, to speak, to trust, until the day we see him, the great, the wonderful day, when we see again our Lord, our Master, our friend, our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.